This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Ian and Jay joining you here tonight. We're going to go back to your phone calls and thoughts, and we're going to get into the latest in the case that the state thugs are bringing against Jay's wife, Shallon, in state court. The DCYF, as they are called, the Department of Children or Division of Children, Youth and Families here in New Hampshire, is continuing to target Jay's family, and we've got the latest notice that they sent, or the latest threat, or whatever it is, and we'll share that with you coming up here in a moment. But first, we go to the phones. Calling us all the way from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, it's Rebecca Scott, she says. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you very much. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Rebecca. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, I'm just here to talk about Jay Noone, who is presenting at the Nonconformist series, which is happening tomorrow and the rest of the weekend. It's a free online event, and Jay is one of our awesome presenters.
Yeah, actually, I was here the night, this was maybe a week or two ago, that you guys recorded this presentation, and it seemed to go very, very well. I mean, that was my understanding from sort of coming by the studio on occasion as he was doing it. I think he was only scheduled for 45 minutes, but it seemed like you guys were on, and maybe you were just chatting with him, I don't know, but it seemed like you were on together for 3 or 4 hours or something like that, so it seemed like you really enjoyed it, Rebecca.
Yeah, look, we might have kept going for a little bit longer afterwards. Yes, definitely. I think once you've got a lot to talk about, it's hard to stop. But the actual presentation that we recorded for the Nonconformist series was surrounding the idea of getting your kids off the internet and how to give them dopamine hits from other sources. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of where that discussion went.
It's definitely something Jay has talked passionately about here on the radio, so Free Talk Live listeners will probably be familiar with some of it. But, Jay, are they going to pick up some new information if they tune into this thing?
They would. For me, if you listen to me every night, it's a lot of what I've been saying anyways, but mm-hmm. it's sort of put together. Rebecca helped me, you know, keep me on track. I'm a little bit of a, I'm like that dog that sees a squirrel sometimes, you know, and I'm, you know, getting things just pop into my mind. So it's sort of a more precise presentation of what okay. I've been talking about, and it's all put together, and I think it'll help people understand where I'm coming from a lot better, mm-hmm. That have been listening, and it's something, you know, that you can focus on, and then there will be a question and a Q&A afterwards.
So you'll be there for this thing
yes.
happening as it is presented, and then you'll take questions?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's
and then there's
cool.
going to be a roundtable discussion with myself, Danny Sessoms. Who else is on there? That round table?
Jonna, who's Danny's travel partner, and also I have asked Lexi, who is running the Mariposa Freedom Festival, so she's going to come on as well. So we're kind of going to talk about, in that round table, we're going to talk about building community through running events. And it's not a long interaction, but that's kind of the focus for that, since that's the connectivity between everybody.
Yeah, it'll be information-packed, for sure.
Now, this is happening starting tomorrow. It's an online event. It's put on by the folks over at Anarchapulco, which longtime listeners of Free Talk Live know very well because we've broadcast from Anarchapulco here at Free Talk Live for multiple years. I think we're there 3 or 4 years in a row. And it's that alone is a great event, but you got to pay a little bit of money if you're going to fly to Mexico and get some, you know, hotel rooms. This, you're telling me you can attend this thing in its entirety for free, Rebecca? Is that right?
That is 100% correct. If you are there to watch it live, then you can watch it for free.
Mm-hmm.
And when you sign up, you get the option to buy the upgrade to the lifetime access, which I'm telling you right now is worth $67.
That's it. Okay.
And that literally is, that's the cheapest it gets. It goes up once you don't take that first offer. But definitely not into the hard sell. That's why we offer it for free as well.
That's great.
But I think once you dig into day 2 and 3 as well, you'll be going, oh man, I wish I'd paid the $67.
Can you highlight a couple of things from besides Jay? Obviously, our listeners are familiar with him. But I see there's maybe a dozen, two dozen speakers here. I mean, what are some of the topics you're excited about hearing?
I am really excited about the hemp builders who are actually first up. So they've got a community that they're building in Tennessee. And quite a lot of the community probably know these guys anyway. They've been getting around a bit. Imani and River. And River was a big, big development builder, and he's changed strength. You know, he's seen the light, and so he's got that experience of building, but then he's turned it and gone, okay, hemp is where it's at.
Hmm.
And so I'm really excited about them, and they're on the same day, so tomorrow. The program's actually on the site, so anyone who's familiar with Anarchapulco, they can go there and look, but I'll give, if there's an opportunity for Jay to put his affiliate link in the chat somehow, then that would be the best way so Jay can benefit. If you do upgrade, he basically gets 50% of any of the sales, just full disclosure.
And
it's fair enough. I mean, everyone puts a lot of time into their presentations, and I'm always, we try to be as fair as we can be to give them some benefit for their effort. So I'm excited about them. I'm excited about, I've seen all the presentations except for Jeff Berwick's, which is the only one I haven't seen. So that's actually the same, that's tomorrow as well. And that's, if everybody knows who he is, it's always going to be an interesting presentation. And then the next day, so Saturday, we have, it's all about food growing, and I have a triple treat of basically 3 permaculture presentations in a row, but none of them are overlapping. They're basically building from one to the other, and one is has a big focus on getting kids out in nature and how to teach them and stuff. And it's actually from North Queensland, which is where I was living before I ran away to Mexico and joined the anarchists. So basically there's some beautiful people who really are doing the deal. Like, they're teaching people about permaculture design and bringing their children into it as well. And so I think, Jay, you'll love that as well, based on what we spoke about.
Oh, yeah.
And look, but then my super nerd friend is in the middle there, who actually does permaculture design using tech. Now, this is where I say the $67 is worth literally that presentation alone, because and you don't have to pay it. I'm saying you can take screenshots for the whole, if you watch it live, you can sit there and get all the content for, nothing. But he's giving you probably about 20 tips of different programs he uses for designing his permaculture design.
Mm.
So it's super interesting stuff. And he's, yeah, so those guys, and then we've got Jim Gale from Food Forest Abundance coming on, and he can't make it to the Q&A, so he sent his chief permaculture designer to do the Q&A. So it's really going to be worth, if you, anyone's wondering about what permaculture design is, that day will answer those questions.
So this is day two. That's going to be Saturday. Food growing and homesteading is going to be the focus. The first day, which is the day Jay is going to be presenting, and that's tomorrow, is focusing on building resilient communities. And then day three is going to focus more on family stuff, raising liberated families. So this sounds like a real resource for people. And, Rebecca, thanks for making this available. It looks like you're one of the key organizers behind this thing. This is the first time this has ever been done with in Acapulco, right?
No, we did one in May. Because what we're doing, we were trying to just keep momentum going through the year rather than just sort of forget everyone. So we did a one that was focused on vital, and it was called Vital and Awake. So we had Andy Kaufman and some really amazing thought leaders in, you know, unconventional thoughts. And it was a pretty epic program,
right,
too,
cool.
Actually. So,
well, yeah, good. I'm glad to hear that. It sounded like that one maybe worked out so well you decided to do another one then.
Oh, look, I like, it's all about actually getting a way of putting these things together, and it's a shame to just do one and then forget all about it, you know.
So, yeah, sure.
And really, we do have so much content, and so this event is based on the Sovereign Living Day of the Anarchapulco main event, which now is a whole day on this kind of content. So really, you know, there's so many different angles to go for how to actually be living as a sovereign being, and that includes everything that Jay teaches, as well as all of these people who are really digging into, you know, how do you actually maintain a intentional community? How do you build one? You know, how do you make it kept out of the grips of the power structure, you know? And so, yeah, so that's the idea.
I'm excited about it, Jay. I'm glad that you're involved in it. You always have a lot of interesting things to say, and people can get signed up for this, whether you can watch it live or later on. It will be available later on for what sounds like a relatively affordable price. Rebecca, was there anything else that you wanted to share about the event?
Not at all. No, just get on the site, and you can, but definitely put Jay's link in there. And, we definitely would love you guys to, come to the 10th anniversary of Anarchapulco main event in February.
Well, I would love that as well. Hopefully I will not be in a federal prison cell at that time. They've taken my passport from me, so I physically won't be able to until I can get that thing back. But as soon as I get the passport back, well, yeah, otherwise they don't like it when you're under when you're under bail conditions and you leave the country. They don't like, they don't take too kindly
all
to
right.
that. But we would love to bring Free Talk Live. Yeah, we would love to bring Free Talk Live back down to Anarchapulco one of these days when we're all free enough to do it. And the website is anarchapulco.com. I do still have your link, Jay, from last. I think you gave it to me last week. I'll go ahead and repost that on the Free Talk Live social media profiles. We have our own social media site at social.freetalklive.com, where you can follow Free Talk Live at FTL. And then, of course, at Free Talk Live on Twitter. We'll put that link out there for people that want to get signed up. Thank you, Rebecca, for calling in and sharing this
awesome.
With us.
You guys are awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, good luck with this. It sounds like it's going to be really educational, and I appreciate it.
Yeah, I hope to be at Anarchapulco this year. We'll see what's going on.
For the first time.
But it would be the first time for me.
That would be in 2024, because it's usually February.
Right. Yeah, the next one coming up.
Because, you know, middle of the winter time for those of us in the cold states, it's nice to take a break and go down to Acapulco, Mexico, where it is just gorgeous at that time of year.
I'm going to try to put something together for these guys. Maybe we could do some blacksmithing down there like I did at Pork Fest. Obviously, I can't haul all my equipment down there.
No.
It'd be expensive, but if we might be able to source it locally.
Yeah, probably.
And if we can make that happen and, you know, If we can make it happen, we're going to make it happen. Put it that way.
I think it's really exciting. All right, so I put the link out there, Jay, for anybody that wants to jump into that. And since we're talking about Jay Noon things, let's talk about your wife, Shallon. She was she and you have been targeted by the thugs at the Division of Human Services. Children and Families.
Yep.
And they claim that your kids are in danger. From what? Well, they're not really clear, if I recall correctly, because Bonnie did read me this document that they sent you recently.
Oh, yeah. So they sent this thing certified mail.
I presume it has to do. I haven't read the whole thing, but she read the bulk of it to me. I presume it has to do with the recent conviction in New Hampshire District Court for the dastardly so-called crime of leaving a two-year-old strapped into a car seat in an air-conditioned vehicle on a nice day, as according to the police own testimony, a very nice day in New Hampshire in the Concord area.
Mid-March.
Mm-hmm.
Still snow on the ground.
But they said it was like 70 or 65 degrees or something like that, so it was supposed to be a really nice day.
Well, according to like the Weather Channel, it was like a high of like 64 that day.
Yeah.
A high.
Yeah. So you didn't really need the air conditioning in the car, but it was on.
Well, climate control.
Yeah, you know, whatever
what
it was.
It does, it keeps it nice in there.
Yeah, and some snitch had come across the car in the parking lot who just so happens to work for the prosecutor's office, the county prosecutor's office. I don't know if she's a secretary or what her
deal is. Secretary is what her LinkedIn profile said.
Yeah, and so she calls the cops. The cops show up, and there was some dispute at the trial as to how long of a period the child was in the car. It was apparently asleep. So, you know, comfortably asleep, just chilling in the car, and they arrested her for that. Not on the scene. It took, what was it, months?
Actually, my wife never got arrested.
Oh, really?
Pulled over by a cop, and the cop's like, oh, there's a warrant out for your arrest.
Mm.
And the cop was like, oh, this is ridiculous, basically. I'll bring you back the summons.
I see. Yeah, so he didn't put handcuffs on her, but he did ticket her.
No ticket.
Well, the summons is essentially a ticket.
Provided the summons, yep.
Okay. And so then she had to go to court. There was a trial. The courtroom was packed full of people. They actually tried to keep us out by moving the trial from the normal courtroom with full pews to a room that had maybe 4 out of 8 pews, so it was a much smaller courtroom because they wanted to actually keep people out of this trial. Ended up people sitting on the floor against the judge's demands. It was a really interesting situation. Full video is over on the Freekeen channel on Odyssey over at video.freekeen.com if you want to see it. But now, after the conviction, you guys have put in for what they call a de novo appeal here in New Hampshire, and that's because they charged her as a Class A misdemeanor.
Right.
And what that means is that your wife is facing up to a potential year in jail on this conviction. And in New Hampshire, you have a right to a jury trial appeal from a bench trial for a Class A misdemeanor if you want it. And why wouldn't you want it? It's a second crack at the apple or whatever. And so you guys are putting in for that de novo appeal, which de novo in Latin means from the beginning. That means that you will get a whole new trial in front of an actual jury this time. And that means the state has to put on their whole case all over again, call all the witnesses again, and go through all the motions, but in front of a jury this time. Meanwhile, DCYF sends you a letter.
Yeah, so they send a certified letter, and they are saying that that there is a preponderance of evidence that the child was neglected. The neglect that occurred was the following: on March 21st, 2022, DCYF received a report concerning a concern alleging that your child was neglected by you. It was reported that you left your child in a running car while you entered a department store for approximately 30 minutes, leaving your child unattended without proper care or supervision. You were later charged with child endangerment due to the incident. CPSW, that's Child Protection Service Worker, Social Worker Melissa Coombs, has conducted an assessment of this report of a concern, including speaking with Henniker Police Department, Concord Police Department, and the child's primary care physician. Additionally, Henniker Police Department met with your family on multiple occasions. Based on the assessment done, DCYF has determined that you have neglected your child. Now, the funny thing is there's an app. So if you go on YouTube, JNoon, my YouTube page, there is a 17-minute video of me reading the affidavit of the Henniker Police Department, the Henniker Chief of Police. When the Henniker Chief of Police told DCYF there was no neglect or abuse, he verified that. He certified that in an affidavit. He actually had to go put a motion to vacate in family court because this social worker, Melissa Coombs, lied, made up statements out of thin air. One of the statements she made up was that the Henniker police told her that they were familiar with the Noons as they are free stater, anti-government, and live on a compound with lookouts and are dangerous. And
are they counting the cows as lookouts in that case?
You know, it's just the thing is, it's just total garbage.
Yeah,
and the other thing is, there was actually no assessment done. In order for these guys to do an assessment, a couple of things have to happen. And I, from what I understand, they have to get our consent. We have to sign a release form, the parents, and that never happened. And if people remember, I actually offered to allow the Henniker police to do the assessment, but not DCYF.
And they refused.
DCYF said that the Henniker police were basically not capable. They were not qualified to do this assessment.
They didn't go to college for this.
They didn't attend a college class called Maximizing Revenue for DCYF. Because, you know, when they do that assessment, they actually get a check. They get a payout from the federal government. This comes through the Clinton No Child Left Behind or Family Something Whatever 1997 Act. I always forget what that is. But, you know, just like all, you know, acts of Congress, they are never, you know, what they actually, they are opposite of the title, like Homeland Security Act or whatever. This Child Act is the opposite. It's not about, it's about getting money. It's about building more bureaucracy. It's about controlling children. It's about destroying families.
Well, the thing is, she doesn't have to rely on the Henniker Police Department. She doesn't have to rely on the things that you say. All they have to rely on here, it sounds to me like, is, well, there was a conviction in district court, so therefore, child endangerment, we are going to rule that you must be part of our system now. We're going to get into more of this letter. You're going to share more of the details, right?
Yep.
We're going to find out what happens when DCYF comes after you as hard as they are here for the new family. Because you've made it hard for them. You have not participated with them. You have not consented to, you know, talking to these bureaucrats. You have not let them into your home, like a lot of people will just do.
Yeah.
And, of course, if you let them do the things they want, that doesn't mean they're going to go easy on you. They're going to steal your kids either way.
And they've done it. And they've gotten sued for it. Hundreds of millions of dollars paid out.
There's more coming up here. You can share your thoughts as well. It is Free Talk Live.
Attention. Your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. The Salvation Army is asking for donations and volunteers in Hawaii as they deliver meals to those impacted by the fires on Maui. Jack Cronin has that update.
The Salvation Army says they're providing meals at the Red Cross Pukalani Shelter and other locations for thousands of people across the island. They're asking for large volume meals from restaurants, but they unfortunately can't accept small private home prepared meals because of safety standards. Instead, people can donate money that will be used to fund the meals, with the Salvation Army saying 100% of all donations designated as disaster relief will be used to support disaster operations. A list of volunteer opportunities and ways to donate can be found online at hawaii.salvationarmy.org. I'm Jack Cronin.
The man accused of killing five of his neighbors in their southeast Texas home earlier this year is pleading not guilty. Francisco Oropeza is charged with capital murder for the April shooting in San Jacinto County. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
I had no idea it would destroy my life. But before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Or whatever, there's different acronyms in different states, but these are the thugs that are separating children from their families.
Professional career child traffickers that are paid by the federal government from the Social Security Fund.
In many cases,
billions of dollars.
Stealing children and then putting them in much worse situations than they were already in previously. Whether it be in the hands of potentially abusive foster parents or potentially abusive bureaucrats working for DCYF, which has also happened many times in many different states. And now they've targeted your family, Jay, presumably because you are somebody who is no fan of the state, the federal government, the state government, you name it. You want independence. You want freedom. So they're going to try to do horrible things to you. And that's what they've begun to do. They brought your wife into court a couple months ago, I think, at this point, and charged her with so-called child endangerment, even though there was never any proof that the child was in any way in danger. And the officer in the case specifically said that he didn't think the child was in any danger at the time.
He testified that she wasn't in danger.
He sure did. But that didn't matter to the judge, who went ahead and found your wife guilty after an hour-long trial or whatever it was.
The judge is obviously a simp for this crooked, corrupt system.
Sure.
I mean, his pension depends on it. The prosecutor's pension depends on it. All these guys draw a pension from the same pension fund. They all get paid by the same treasurer.
Sure.
You know, so they're all working together. There's a massive conflict of interest.
Bonnie actually called the judge on it in her case. She just had a parking ticket that she won, amazingly, here in Keene at the district court here. But before she got going with the trial, she had some questions for the man in the robe, and she specifically asked him, you know, who pays his paycheck? Or she, I think she the first question was something related to that, but it was, you know, essentially, you know, are you, is there a conflict of interest here because you're getting paid from the same people that are doing the prosecuting? And he didn't have a very good answer for her in that case. Of course, it's not going to get the case thrown out or anything like that, but it is one of those interesting kind of things that you can do when you're in court, is possibly get some contradictory statements from the judge.
At least making them all aware of the hypocrisy they're trying to shove down everyone's throats.
Yeah. Yeah. He was definitely trying to slime out of those questions the best he could. So you got this certified letter from DCYF that is essentially saying that they are saying that your wife, Shallon, is a child endangerer. What's the terminology?
That she neglected our daughter.
Neglect. Because of her conviction for child endangerment, they're now saying that your child was neglected, even though the child was in a car that was, you know, air conditioned, that it was asleep, it was strapped into a car seat. I mean, there was no danger whatsoever, as the police officer specifically testified to, but none of that matters because all they care about is there was a guilty finding, and so therefore, neglect.
Yeah, and a guilty finding in an absolute garbage courtroom,
mm-hmm.
a statutory court. And another thing that happened during that trial is I asked the cop, what evidence, do you have evidence that the New Hampshire Code and Constitution apply to someone simply because they're on a land that we call New Hampshire? And he said, no, don't have any.
Nope.
That is one of the elements of a crime, that they have to have jurisdiction. If anybody brings a lawsuit against anybody or any kind of claim, they must prove they have a right to bring that claim against you.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have kangaroo garbage courts, like most of them are, you know, run by a bunch of shills, people who are cult worshippers of the state, they are constantly, you know, convicting people of nonviolent, no victim crimes where the state has no jurisdiction. And they have done this repeatedly to people who are involved in the freedom movement. Health Freedom New Hampshire was right on the back of my wife's car. You know, the big sticker is the first mm-hmm. thing you see. And that's off of her car now because mm-hmm. the harassment. And you just like you have Pamela and Tyler Workman, who were arrested and charged along with Rochelle Kelly for letting their kids play at the park. Actually, Pamela and Tyler have filed a complaint with the Concord Police Department, and the Concord Police Department put a no trespass order on them. I talked about that for a minute last week.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're actually drafting up complaints to file, and I'm going to be when that happens, I'm going to have I'll be talking about it here, and I'm going to be asking people to send letters to their state representatives, send letters to the governor's council saying that you want this investigated, that you are, and taxpayers are having a foot to bill for all of this garbage. I mean, we got drug encampments. I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, problems going on. You can't walk through certain parts of Manchester without dodging needles on the ground. There's like parks you can't go hang out in Manchester. And even we have, you have cases right in my own hometown. I have, a case where, a local family who's not doing good at raising their kids. The kids are smelling like urine and feces. They're hungry. The school's reporting on them. The bus driver's reporting on them. Other people in town are reporting on them. They're you know, this is a mom who has a drug addiction issue. And so these are very much neglected and abused children.
Sure.
And DCYF had little to no interest in doing anything with them.
That's crazy.
But they had tremendous focus on me and my family. And I believe it was because my kids are healthy. I also believe it was because we were being targeted because we're free staters, because we talk about being free staters.
Mm-hmm.
They even make up out of thin air in their affidavit that we're Free Stater, anti-government, live on a compound with lookouts, for example. And then they, in another affidavit, this Melissa Coombs, who...
the bureaucrat here.
Who is the social worker that does not have an oath of office, by the way. Mm-hmm. None of these guys have an oath of office. I got my response back when I asked for her oath of office. Was, their state's response was, state employees aren't required to have an oath of office.
Mm.
So...
what else is in this?
So what else is this goes on? It says, pursuant to RSA 169C3 XIX, so that would be 19B, DCYF has determined that the minor child, which I disagree with that term, that's a commercial term, minor child, is a neglected child by you without proper parental care, control, or substance, as required by law, and that her health has suffered or is likely to suffer serious impairment.
That is absolutely insane amounts of libel against you, honestly,
yeah.
Because...
I think they did us a favor by writing that. This lawsuit's going to be massive against these guys.
The idea that your kid's health is in jeopardy? I mean, you guys are living on a farm. You're eating the best possible meats. You're eating fresh, raw milk. Your kids have one of the best diets you could possibly give a kid. But that's not what they're talking about. They're trying to claim that because your wife left one of the kids in a car for, allegedly 30 minutes.
And it wasn't even that long. But
that's somehow putting the health of that child in danger?
Right. The most
ridiculous.
Dangerous. You know what the most dangerous thing is you could do with a child, according to statistics? You know how most children die? Motor vehicle accidents, properly strapped in the car. I asked a cop on the stand, have you ever seen a baby die in a car that was just parked somewhere? No.
No.
The statistics are, in New Hampshire, the statistics go back to 1988, 25 years. How many kids died in a car to heat exhaustion? That's the number one problem with leaving kids in the car is heat exhaustion. And it's zero. It's zero in Maine. It's one in Vermont. It's zero in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 74 in Florida. It's like 56 in California and like 100 and something in New Mexico or whatever.
Yeah.
But, March in New Hampshire, ridiculous.
It's outrageous.
So this goes on. As required by law, and her health has suffered or is likely to suffer impairment, and the department is not, deprivation is not due primarily to the lack of financial means of the parents. Yeah. Why? How?
And these are the questions you're intending to ask at what is mentioned later on, a potential administrative review of this finding. You're going to be able to challenge
And these
this.
Are questions that I demand that the New Hampshire legislature is going to ask. And, how much did this cost the taxpayers of New Hampshire, this entire ordeal? I can tell you that Henniker Police Department has hundreds of man hours into this.
I bet Coombs is probably getting paid $50,000 at least a year.
Oh, yeah, well, and so you have Melissa Coombs signs this, and then Colleen CZUBRT, Cezubert, Supervisor, Concord District Office. J.R. Hull's been pretty handy on helping me kind of look into what these parasitic bureaucrats make. I mean, the state really needs to be dewormed because these guys are parasites.
Yeah,
the guy
great.
Who plows the road, he can hang it. He's fine. I don't mind paying for him, but these parasites are unbelievable.
Yeah.
And she made like 40-some-odd $1,000 a year just in overtime.
Whoa,
social workers
crazy.
Are making like the supervisors makes like $100,000. If you go on, I believe it's called gencourt.mobile or
Gencourt Mobile? That's the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance's site
correct.
For bills, like upcoming House bills and Senate bills. Does it do other things?
It does other things. You can find out how much each government bureaucrat
really?
Got paid in overtime.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah, so I if I had my computer here, I could bring all that up.
That's cool.
J.R. Hull's been working diligently on stuff like this. He spent $50,000 on a lawyer to defend his thing, and he's actually working right now and putting a lawsuit together and stuff. But anyways, go back to his letter.
Yeah, yeah.
DCYF has determined that you are the individual responsible for neglect described above. As a result of this finding, your name will be permanently added to the DCYF Central Registry of Founded Reports of Child Abuse and Neglect pursuant to RSA 169C35. They say it's confidential with the exception of those department employees whose official functions include assessing the central registry for the purpose of results according to state or federal law. So this isn't confidential law, because any of these, you know, irresponsible, remember, these people who commit these crimes constantly, all these government employees, they enjoy qualified immunity.
Mm-hmm.
And qualified immunity basically means that the taxpayers pay for their damages. So,
that's right.
So if you...
If they're found liable, in many cases, they're not even found liable due to it.
Well, what happens is if you just pick out almost any random case, so if you just want to internet search NHDCYF settlements,
mm-hmm.
you'll start reading about... and you better have a strong stomach, because I had I was, you know, wiping tears out of my eyes. I had to, like, stop reading this stuff, but because it's just so disgusting what these people do to children and families and the abuse that they cause.
Mm-hmm.
And anyways, also the particular charge that my wife was charged with is child neglect. You're exempt. You cannot be charged with child neglect if you're one of these agents. Is basically what the charge says, you know.
Wow.
So, I'd have to go read it again. But basically, if you're, you know, one of these guys, you know, a social worker, you can't or work for the government, you can't be charged.
That's crazy.
So, anyways, what happens
is being in the gang has its perks.
Oh yeah. So, there is nothing confidential within government, right? Like, one of the reasons I don't want my kids having a birth documents issued by the state is because, as a student of history, you when a certain type of religion or race or color of skin, you know, it is the powerful people decide that those people are to be exterminated. Like Adolf Hitler got a whole bunch of cult followers that followed his orders, and they ratted on their neighbors, and they told on you if you might have been hiding Jewish people in your attic or floorboards. And basically, if there was a time in history where Jewish people, for example, were illegal, it was illegal to be Jew. You got exterminated to be a Jew. You also, during that, many other times, what do they call it, cultural cleansing or something? I got a name for it, but genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And so when these genocides come, the first thing the government does that is, or the people in power, and it's always government,
go through the birth certificates.
They go to the vital statistics and they say, all right, where's the Jews? We're going to go get them and exterminate them. And so, you know, I was very vocal with when my kids were born, we had to use a hospital because, you know, the midwife thing wasn't happening. We had to have a C-section. So we and the only hospitals you can use happen to be, you know, a private, you know, a private monopoly is essentially what the state is. So they control these hospitals. You can't go get a C-section from a private anybody. It's all hospitals that you have to use. So, I told them I do not want any of my, you know, daughter's biological data in your database because you're horrible with data. And as we know from history, you know, when the Nazis invaded Holland, they went into the town hall and they got the registries of everyone who owned a gun, of everyone who was Jewish, everyone that, you know, was who they were looking to exterminate and attack, so they could single out and attack them. So this is why government should have no biological data of anybody. It is super dangerous, and they suck with their data. They're very loose with it. It's always getting compromised. You're always hearing something. Oh, this department, you know, some laptop was left on, blah, 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 whatever.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah, some bureaucrat left it in the back of the, you know, stall at an airport bathroom, and somebody walks away with it. My question or concern in this case is, now that she's on this list of quote-unquote abusers or whatever they're going to call this, what does that mean in the long run? I mean, does that mean that these bureaucrats are going to be able to dig even deeper into your lives like a bloodthirsty tick now? They can point to the list and say, ah, you're on the list. Now we get to come into your house anytime we want to. Like, what are the ramifications of being on this list?
I see it as kind of like a continuance without a finding in like a DUI case. So let's say you get pulled over for a DUI, and you didn't drink.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say you didn't. In fact, I didn't get charged with a DUI, but I had a cop. You know, have you been drinking? Well, if I answer that question, you're gonna use it against me. You know, was my response. And you know, he totally could have charged me with a DUI. He obviously knew I wasn't drinking because the cop knows me and I don't drink. And it happened to be maybe if the cop didn't know me, it'd be a little different. But a lot of times what happens with people who get busted for a DUI and there's basically no evidence, there's no way to prove it, and the lawyers love to do this because, all, you know, 99% of your lawyers are just totally lazy. You know, they're just part of the system. They're
they just want to walk you through a plea deal.
Right. So they're like, well, we'll just do this continuous without a finding. So now, as if you get busted or the same, they want to pick on you, you haven't, you know, drank or, you know, let's say you had one beer and they want to give you a hard time about it. Now they call that as a first offense if you get busted again.
I see.
So if they're looking to, and you know, just like, you know, the Sheriff Hathaway said that they could basically, you know, go after you for any reason. You know, you got expired, you know, food in a refrigerator. There was some trash, you know, too much trash in a trash can, dirty dishes in the sink. You know, your kid had an outburst at Walmart, you know, whatever they want, they just use anything they can. And actually what we know now is, at least with the case of Melissa Coombs and this Colleen Zubrut, who protected Melissa Coombs, in this, they make up lies out of thin air. So these people just make up lies out of totally thin air. Let's say somebody just doesn't like you for some reason or wants to make an anonymous call. In fact, when I was a kid, in Massachusetts, my father had to evict a guy out of a rental house he had. And when after we evicted the guy out of the rental house, which was a, you know, a big deal, it cost us, you know, a couple thousand dollars, and the guy destroyed him and his girlfriend destroyed the house. And basically, right after this, Child Protective Services and cops show up at our house. I was 14, 15 years old, and they said that they got an anonymous report that my father was sexually abusing the kids, which is absolutely ridiculous. And my dad told them to leave, and you're trespassing and don't come back. And what they didn't know is one of my dad's very good friends at the time worked for CPS in Massachusetts.
Okay.
And she printed up the file of who called, the phone number, and got the and everything, and it was this woman. That
the tenant, the former tenant,
the girlfriend of the tenant, you know, she was living with the boyfriend is who we rented to. So anyways, the girlfriend of the tenant, and she was in our, let's say, horse community. And at one of the horse things, my father passed out all this documentation to her, and the guy who sold her hay refused to sell her hay. The guy who, she went to the local grain store, you get out of here. They kicked her out of the grain store. They wouldn't let her buy any grain. She actually went to another grain store, and they told the same thing, because we just basically told all our friends. And that's how justice should be served. You know, we didn't sue her, didn't bring any charges against her. And the woman that worked for CPS, she did a really good job cleaning the files up, and she didn't even care. She goes, you go present this. If it comes back to me, I don't care. She goes, I'll claim whistleblower status because this is wrong. You know, and so, you know, so the anonymous, like, most of the time it's not anonymous.
Yeah,
they know who calls.
They knew.
And
they're protecting that person.
Right, they protect that. So, and a lot of times the anonymous call is just something made up by a disgruntled bureaucrat. You know, and
why can't they call into their own system? I mean, they absolutely can.
That's right. And the thing is, if you look at, like, everything I talk about, everything I do, you go on my YouTube channel, you watch my videos, you just internet search my name, read about the things that I do, the things I talk about, the stuff that I incentivize, the things that I want to see, is I want, my goal is liberty in our lifetime. And the only way I think we can get that is by raising a generation of young people who are confident and competent and don't need government. And that scares the hell out of the parasitic bureaucrats that we have. Because what does that mean when you have a generation next is confident and is and has fellowship with all their friends and they're strong and they can take care of themselves? They don't need government. And I'm trying to set that example for the young generation. And a lot of people are setting that example for the young generation. And we're being, I believe, we're totally being targeted and attacked for that.
That is inevitable what's going to happen, unfortunately. I mean, that's just the reality of, you try to change things, the people inside the system, the status quo supporters, the ones that are getting wealthy off of the backs of the taxpayers, they don't want that gravy train to end. They want to keep that thing going so they can get to their 90% retirement and, you know, pay for their kids' college and live in two houses or whatever it is they're going to do with all that money. They know it's coming. They know that the government cheese is there for them.
And most of this low-level bureaucrat class, like these social workers and like a lot of like young people who work in government, whether they're the janitor at the VA or, you know, whatever they're doing, even the guys, you know, plowing the road, a lot of them live like drunken sailors. A lot of these guys are living basically
irresponsible.
Well, they're living irresponsibly because they are under the belief that they have a golden parachute retirement fund.
By and, all evidence, they do, unless something changes.
Right, because the way to the pensions are set up, all state pensions and city pensions and government pensions are set up. If the pensions don't perform to whatever they're sold to mm-hmm. the pensioners, like the city of Manchester, I believe it's 8%, which is absolutely amazing that you would even say guarantee a pension like that.
Yeah.
Because it's almost impossible for that pension to do 8%.
So the taxpayers.
So they sure point enough. Guns at the taxpayers, mm-hmm. quite literally, and say, well, you're going to make up for this if it doesn't do 8%. And then when these pensions lose, and of course, you know, you start getting into the government pension systems, it's just like everything else the government does. It's the worst people. It's the laziest people. It's the people who can't get a job, you know, in private pension, you know, sectors, you mm-hmm. know, and it's just like it always is with all the other, you know, government bureaucrats and agencies. When people stop asking and stop begging for government's help and stop paying into government and refuse not to participate because they're strong and confident, the system collapses. You know what else? You know the element that helps the system collapse? When people don't trade in the coin of the crown,
mm-hmm.
when they don't trade in U.S. dollars, and they trade in their dollars for gold, silver, or cryptocurrency. That's why, Ian, they've come after you and the other crypto
that's
six,
right.
because you are, I mean, you're kind of sort of like, you know, you're doing your part. For freedom. You're
yeah.
doing your part to give people options. I'm doing my part right from the beginning with these kids to make sure. And you know, another thing that happens too is like, so everybody knows that I have a homeschool co-op that I participate in. You know, Man Camp is mm-hmm. my homeschool curriculum. It is my plan to restore confidence in mankind. And then we have a, you know, private homeschool get together. Where, and I don't even know if co-op's really the right word, but it's, you know, it's a cooperation of families.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's technically a form of voluntary socialism, you know, cooperatives. And so we have, you know, families come over to my place and, you know, my family goes over to other families' houses on other days of the week.
And it's not and, socialism because there's no state.
Well.
That would be sharing.
Sharing, yes.
Yeah.
So anyways, are they going to try to attack us on that front?
Who knows?
You know, because, what this tells me is if you went to get a job, say, at a daycare, they would do some kind of background check on you, and they'd be like,
child neglect.
Yeah, with child neglect.
Although they claim this is going to be private information
and
won't be available to most people. There's more coming up here, and I think there's a little more to this notice. I want to get into that as well. What they say that you can do as far as challenging this, that's coming up. Hour number three is on the way. You can join the show here as well. The number is 603-283-6160. Bring up whatever's on your mind. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Are you curious about what might be missing from your diet and supplement choices? Take a free health assessment to identify your possible nutrient deficiencies. As a certified holistic health coach, I will help you assess and prioritize a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Who listens to radio at night? EMTs, truck drivers, law enforcement, and many other hardworking people just like you, buying products and services from companies just like yours. Many companies owe their success to radio. It's the engaging medium. Call 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.